Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to A Team of Voices Radio. I'm your host, Sky Darkholm, and this is Down the Tube with Really Random Stuff. Team of Voices is brought to you by Poetry Group on allpoetry.com, the largest poetry site in the world. And we do like to say thank you to Kevin and his crew for all they do. And a special thanks to Deborah Lee for running the group and the blog talk page, and giving us a place to share live. Tonight, we will be talking about exactly what the title says, some really random stuff with me that I learned on YouTube. I quite like the documentary realm, so YouTube, if you find the right YouTube pages, you can find some pretty cool stuff to learn. And if you liked our opening, it's CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, definitely one of my favorites, and the song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain? And a little bit about this, this song is John Fogerty's take on the imminent departure of his brother Tom from the band and the overall tension in the group at that time, when they should have been enjoying their success. The line, I want to know, have you ever seen the rain coming down on a sunny day, refers to Tom leaving while CCR was at its commercial zenith. The flip side of the single, Hey Tonight, is John's reassuring the band that all will go despite the adversity. Tom left the group in early 1971. After the album was released, he released three solo albums before dying of tuberculosis in 1990. A fourth album, completed in 1988, was released after his death. So, so it's a little bit about the song. I hope you enjoyed it. We are also closing out with another CCR song, but I will tell you a little bit about that later in the show. And I'm pretty excited to get things started, so I want to welcome on some callers we already have, and we'll start with Hatter. Hello, Hatter.
Hello, Sky. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm still post-operative blues, but I'm getting by.
All right. I'll try to cheer you up today with all these exotic places and things to see.
Cool. Oh, it's not just about the rain, then.
I know. That was like a last-minute pick. I was like, what do I want to listen to? I'm going to listen to this. It was a little rainy today here. So. And then I'll welcome on our next caller, Stephen and Kay.
Hello.
I hear the keyboard. There's no keyboard. I can't help it. I don't know.
I heard a tap.
Okay, listen. Okay, hold on. Can you hear this?
No. But before you said hold on, I'm typing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's typing. I might be some static. If you continue to hear it, let me know, and I'll put you guys on speaker, but I hate that. It's my mission in life to find a headset that works well. But, yeah, definitely let me know if you continue to hear it, and I'll work it out. I'll take off the headset. Thank you, guys. How are you guys tonight?
All right. How are you?
Good. Enjoying the CCR?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And how are you going to bring on? What?
I tried to get some dancing emojis put up on the board, but Ben was not cooperating with me in getting that accomplished.
I know. Where's Carlton? I'm feeling a loss. Mm. I need Carlton in my life. Without further ado, I want to say hi to Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Hello.
Bye.
So what do we guys think about all the random stuff
I
had?
I have seen the rain coming down on a sunny day. and sunshine
is
really cool.
I've seen it. When I was over in England, the rain was just all the time. It didn't matter if it was cloudy, sunny, night, day, nothing. It was just randomly flash showers, and then it was over.
There's just something magical about it raining at the same time, the sunshine. And as odd as it sounds, when I've been to Disney a couple times, and if it rains in Walt Disney, it's usually with the sun shining, too, at least any time I've been there and anybody in my family. They only have sun showers on Disney. Go figure. Just saying.
Oh, that's nice. Well, in England, I couldn't pick a temperature because 1 minute, like, literally you would walk 5 feet and it would be cold, and then you would walk 5 more and it would be really hot. Like, I couldn't figure it out. But there was always rain, no matter what.
Sounds like Seattle.
So what did you guys think about my my really random stuff? Do you guys get any is anybody in a rush? What's happening? Anybody need to read and run?
No.
I don't know when my time's up. When somebody shows up, I got to go for a little while. But I don't know when that'll be.
And Stephen Kay, are you hanging out for a little bit? What's up? What are you guys doing?
I'm hanging out for a little bit.
None of us know when our time's up. None of us know.
All right. None of us know. I'm just going to go in order of caller then, if that's all right with you guys. Is that all right with you guys? That would be Hatter, Stephen, Kay, Deb. That's good with everybody. Okay. Actually, I don't have a poem from Hatter, so
I saw the word rain, so I figured rain.
I've got some pretty cool stuff. I looked them over. I didn't read your poem, Deb, but I seen your picture, and I'm quite surprised you didn't go with the maggots.
Well, because they're soup. They're not really maggots. They're more like glowworms. They're more like magic. So, I don't know. When I had saw the photos of the trees before, and when I saw that photo, my muse jumps before I do, and it went with, well, you know, which one will tickle your host. So, there you go.
Awesome. All right, I think we're reading a poem about rain first. All right, go ahead, Adam.
Cool.
Yeah. You guys see it there? How I wish it would rain. It's the title. It goes like this. I stand in view of the things I need. I wonder what is wrong amongst all the memories. I find I stand alone. The windows fog, I write your name. The droplets fall into the pane. How I wish it would rain. Tucked away for some other day, I found a picture of you. Something changed that rearranged the dreams that never came true. They hang for me upon the wall. I feel the cold after the fall. There is nothing here, nothing at all. Stuck in love for 100 years, I wait to watch the change. I stop to face the distant storm. How I wish it would rain.
Excellent. And actually, it reminds me of that other song. What is the song I'm thinking of? You know, How I Wish It Would Rain. You know?
I got the tune in my head. Let it rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Let it rain. Yeah.
How I Wish That It Was Rain is a song by The Temptations.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Phil Collins did one.
Yeah. I think it's Phil Collins I'm thinking about. Someone's got to sing it, but How I Wish It Would Rain. Is that the right one?
How I Wish It Would Rain down on me. Yes, I wish it would rain. Rain down on me now. Yeah, that one.
Let it rain down on me. Oh, yeah. You're thinking of The Who. You're thinking of The Who.
It's all right. This is the place to go really random, I guess. That's the title. You guys are off to a great start. This is an excellent piece, Hatter. Yeah, it makes me think of when you write, the windows fog, I write your name, the droplets fall onto the pane. How I wish it would rain. And there's two kind of feelings that I get. Sometimes when you go through grief or loss, when you're upset, sometimes it's almost bitter when you look outside and the world is just going about its business and everything's sunny and everybody's smiling out there. And it's kind of like your world is not that way on the inside. And it's almost like, how can the world just be going on and moving and the sun be shining when I'm going through so much? And it's like, how can everything be moving so wonderfully when I'm feeling so horribly inside? And sometimes you just need to be able to get through that emotion. So that is like one way I take it. And then the other way is kind of like when you were in an emotional, you know, crossroads, I would say, maybe, and you're going through things and you can't quite cry because you're trying to hold everything together, and a part of you just wants to let go and cry, and for whatever reasons, the walls we build, or we are afraid to break down like that. There's so many reasons why people might hold emotions inside, but sometimes we really wish we can just break down, and that rain metaphor, to me, symbolizes a lot of crying or letting go. So those are the kind of two ways that I kind of take this, and I really thought it said a lot in its emotion, and the metaphors in which I took it, definitely, definitely really well done, Heather.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you. We'll ask KKK for her first comment. I don't know. We're going to repeat everybody's name while Hatter's here.
Well, yeah, because when I first heard this, as I said in my comment, I definitely was thinking of the song by Phil Collins with how he would say, "I wish it would rain down rain on me." I see it as to feel the love again, let it rain upon one, to feel happiness again. Yeah, what you said of your comment, Sky, that's true, because I think at some point in life we all go through those moments where we see everybody happy and we're kind of in one state. But the thing is, no matter how we feel, the realization that life is always going to go on, whether we're going to be part of it or not. Sometimes it's more so about getting on board with life and just trying to live it the best you can. And words.
Yeah, it feels so small.
Yeah. Sometimes you do look at that big old bad world outside and you're like, well, I'm a grain of sand. And Steven.
Right. Sometimes it's just to hide that you're crying so nobody knows you're crying.
Yeah. Raindrops hide the teardrops and no one will ever know.
Yep.
I'm crying.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can tell the teardrop from the raindrop.
That's good. But yeah, I like
this.
Where's
the pain?
It's a, first off, immediately I had the Phil Collins song popping in my head. But I find myself a question here, and also somebody, when you start right off with, I stand in view of the things I need, and I wonder what is wrong. It speaks to me of somebody who's in such a deep depression that they're not even helping themselves, that they're kind of stuck. And then I get kind of a funny thought, too, I have to say, though, that, you're in such a pissy mood, and you see, like, the neighbors are having fun outside, so why doesn't it just rain and drive them inside? Damn it. That's what I saw, too. What was that?
Yeah.
Awesome, right?
Get out of my sight.
Yeah, somebody comes up to you with a little minuscule problem and you snap. What the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And Deb, excellent comment, Stephen. Deb.
Deb muted?
Deberly?
Did we lose? Unmuted.
Oh, wait, she dropped and she called back. Okay, hold on. Welcome back.
Hello. Hi. The other battery died. Sorry about that. But this is one of your poems from my list, Hatter. The emotion oozes. There's something about rain that brings already to mind depression. And then how I wish it would rain, how I wish it would rain. Tucked away for some other day, I found a picture of you. Something changed that rearranged the dreams that never came true. I mean, this was gut-wrenching when you read it the first time, and that emotion was still oozing from you when you read it this time. And I think this week, 17 days ago, you were on a roll and you were knocking us out nightly with these save-worthy poems. An awesome piece.
I was watching to make sure that I could still make the young girls cry.
I write the songs, I write the songs.
Amen, Larry.
She's good. I could just totally break out in song all night. I'm good with that. I like that. Thank you, Hatter. Do you want to plug your show for Saturday before we go on to our next one?
Well, it's, Hatterday Saturday will be the prompt, if you choose to write, it'll be a part, will be blankets, was it?
Yes.
Blankets. Thank you. And AP Taylor will be the host that night. So Saturday night at 11 Eastern, come join. We'll always have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And I have got Kay up next. She picked, I'm really excited. So one of the things was the Crooked Forest in Poland. And I really feel that I need to win a lot of money so that I can go on a tree tour. I figured it all out. And I've got a lot of them. And I just want to go around the world and see these trees, these random, really random trees. I've decided that this has to happen in my life. But this is a Crooked Forest in Poland. It is a grove of oddly shaped pines, trees, near the town of Grafino in Poland. I'm not going to try to pronounce everything because I don't want to butcher anything, so we'll just left that unsaid. The grove is 400 pines, was planted around 1930. Each pine tree bends sharply to the north, just above ground level. The curves back upright after a sideways excursion of 3 to 9 feet. The curved pines are enclosed by a surrounding forest of straight pine trees. It is generally believed that some kind of human tool or technique was used to make these trees grow or bend in this way. But the method was never determined and remains a mystery to this day. It has been speculated that the trees may have been deformed or to create a naturally curved timber for use to furniture, building boats, and others surmise that a snowstorm could have bent the tree trunks, but there's really no evidence of that either. So one of the prompts was the Crooked Forest, and of course, these prompts could go in any direction, true, fiction, inspiration, but we can learn a little bit about the Crooked Forest in Poland. That's it. That's my little excursion. It was the aliens. That's Catter's guess.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those trees. I've seen the forest. So, yeah. On the crop circles, when a craft lands or something or bends it over, it mutates the joint, which deforms the plant. That's what I said they did when they're twigs. That's why it leans to the left. Not north or south, just to the left.
Okay, you've got a theory. And Kate, your poem is up on the board, and I am ready whenever you are.
Okay, I put this on an old write that I polished up, as my AMs reflect. I call this unrefined and coarse record screen. Crooked and mahogany, brindled, bronzed and burnt sienna sorrels, tawny view, rusted in the bend through sticks of greenery, weather beaten by snow under a nature swathmore, brown as a berry in season, piebald and marbled, motley, checkered, not uniform in eyeshadows of sight. Remove the moisture from to welter the fossilize. Amid the fog is a courage to be unique. Terracotta, leather-colored brilliance, abstractions, hennas of fields, and poem.
Oh, I love that. I love how you put brilliance right in that. I love the word brilliance. I don't know why. I think I hang out with too many British people. I feel like I say it all the time. I'm like, that's brilliant. What are you, British? No, I have a lot of influence. I do have a lot of British friends. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why. I just have a lot of them. But this was so wonderful. Again, the use of brindled. I didn't know that word. I have to be honest with you. I had to look it up. And I loved it. Dappled, streaked, stippled, speckled, tawny. I really, really love that word, brindle. I think it was excellent. Your language always impresses me. Beautiful images. I always like when I have to look up a word because I like to learn. So when people put things in poetry and they have unique language that I don't see every day, it makes me quite giddy. So I really love the opening, and I really love mahogany, actually. So cooked in mahogany, brindled, bronze, and burnt sienna sorrels. I think that is the most brilliant and descriptive opening. See, I just did it. I didn't do that on purpose. Opening.
I should
and
do that.
If I was just moseying along and like just skimming over some things and I caught those three lines, I would stop and I would say, okay, this is going to be worth reading because I really, really love that open. I really think it's actually my favorite part. I mean, the whole piece was so wonderful. It's really kind of one of those ones you could cut and paste, but I think those three are actually my favorite. I love how you went with the descriptions of the trees themselves. When you speak of the moisture from the welter fossilized, and then you actually speak of the bend as well. I'm trying to look for it. There's just so many descriptive words. So this was a haiku before, and then you just elongated it and kind of integrated it?
I did.
It was a haiku.
What?
Did you say it was a haiku?
I think
or
that's
you...
cool.
Okay.
It originally was a haiku, but then I switched it.
Oh.
I've been
cool.
Eating stuff
oh,
like fixing it.
You know, if we're having to run to the thesaurus to look up a word, if that makes you happy, we're having to run to this to look up a word, I should be the happiest guy in the world.
You should. Oh, and then the terracotta letter. I got to stop stealing all the words. I really do want to steal every line. By the time I get to Deb, she's going to be mad at me. She's always yelling at me, but I'm doing it. This is really, really, I really, really appreciated your descriptions. I think I'm going to kind of go ahead and save this because I really, really loved it. I loved your descriptions. I think the language is absolutely brilliant. The Czech cord, not a uniform. I'm going to stop. Okay? I love this. I love
you.
Forest, and I love your descriptions. The descriptions really blew me away, actually, in this one. I'm quite blown away by the language and the images of the piece. And I love trees, and I love looking at trees, but I actually like your poem more than the picture. So that's really good. Let me get another comment from Hatter. If I didn't steal all the lines from him.
Can you come back? Can you come back to me for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. Steven.
Well, for one thing, I bet you're glad that we're not over at PSO because I'd have my finger on the button. But this is
was that a long comment? I thought that was okay. I don't know why. Kay always says, I have no idea why. She's the only person I do it to. I just ramble and ramble. I'm sorry, Kay.
No, it's okay. I'm just.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, there you go. That's all, folks. That's all the time we have. Steven. Steven, my ass.
All the time we have.
Anyway, instead of my smart-ass comment this is a wonderful metaphorical description of the aftermath of Narsageddon. But no, this is I like the way that you went here and described everything that's in that picture.
Yeah.
And in a really cool way, and you just totally got rid of it. My original comment was, awesome haiku, hon.
So I did put it in the author's note as to what it originally was.
My comment was, you're going to give me nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
I edited mine.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Excellent. And Deb, if you have any lines left, I do apologize.
No. Your enthusiasm was awesome. I say run with it. But no, for starters, Brindle, that was one of my favorite words because of dogs, I knew what the vivid image of something, and it was Brindle, would be. And I thought it was a perfect description to use there. And where's the other? Pre-bald and marbled, motley, checkered. Love that line. I think that this is to steal Sky's word, this is a brilliant brevity with mega description all through it. As a matter of fact, I saved it too. I last time put, oh my God, that last line kicks butt. All awesome. Well done. So I'm wondering if I ever saw it as a haiku. Because, like, I don't know. But I think that the poem is great. And motley checkered. I love that. Like I said, the brindle, it's a vivid, perfect description. So
that's piebald, not piebald.
Piebald.
Hi, yeah. Okay, so that's my new favorite K word.
Piebald.
You got
yeah, I had to go
K
look
word?
It up.
Or I did.
That's why it's asked you to pass me because I went and had to go look it up.
That's what he's doing. He's like, I can't comment right now. I'm Googling right. Are you ready to comment, Hatter?
Well, yeah, I'm gonna go right to that piebald and marbled. Checkers. Yeah, that's my new favorite K word. Every piece. That's why I wanted. I asked to be passed because I had a couple words I needed to go look up. And how do you say that? Is it pie or peed? Pied? Pied? Bald?
Piebald?
Well, it's got a line. Okay. I'm looking at it too. It's got a line over it, so it's pie bald. Like bald head, piebald.
I was looking at piebaldism. Piebaldism.
And it says
having
irregular patches of two colors, typically black and white. And it's a beautiful, beautiful horse for one. Just saying.
Oh, you got a horse? I got some guy with white hair.
I had to look it up, too. I
hadn't
ever heard it.
Yeah.
I guess Kay taught us all a new word today.
Awesome.
Yeah, those trees are shillelaghs.
I love doing a word a day. I have this app. It tells me the word of the day, and then I go to the app, and then I do the new word, and then I try to use it because you have to use it all the time to learn it because I'm old and my brain doesn't take information as it used to. So I got to use it all the time. I love it. So. We'll just have to go to we'll have to go to Kay's poems, and we can just do that. I like what Tatter said though. My new K word. Instead of the word of the day, it's a K word of the day.
You know, I'm gonna go back to having the word of the day on my show. I started out with it. I don't know what happened, but yeah. Piebaldism.
Well, thank you, Kay. It's an excellent piece.
You know what happened?
I'm gonna let.
He tried to do the word a day, a word a show, actually, but he couldn't read his handwriting.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He still does that. Cause
I wrote
last
it down.
Week, he still does that because it's always one word. He still does it.
Yeah, but he would look up a word and try. He would seriously look up a word and try to share it, but when it came time to do so, he couldn't read his handwriting. And I kept trying to talk him into sticking the information in the draft and looking at it later. But Hatter's hard-headed sometimes.
Well, yeah. Now, being an artist, I get crap now and then going, you know, you're an artist and you've got handwriting like that. Well, I wrote in a way that I could read it that nobody else could. It was like a shorthand type of thing. Then, with the invention of the typewriter, invention of the computer and typewriter, you don't write that much. And now I'm like everybody else. I can't read it either. I could still write that way.
I spent like 9-10 hours training someone today in the office on a computer, and one of the processes was I had to scan in the notes for the clients, and which I wrote some of the notes by hand myself, but I have to gather all the information for the entire month of every person who wrote a note for every day, twice a day, and then transcribe that information into a report. So we're going through the notes, and I'm pulling the notes, and I realize in front of this person who's looking at training, I can't read what I wrote. Her and I were trying to figure out what I was writing. She's like, that's pretty bad. You can't read your own handwriting. I said, yeah, I got to work on that. Anyway, thank you, Kay. I appreciate it. And Stephen's next. Let me tell you a little information about this. You know what I'm thinking? The clicking you might hear might be my mouse. That's pretty loud. I'm trying to figure this out. Mm-hmm. All right. So the Waitomo Glow Warm Caves, New Zealand, which apparently A.T. Taylor has been to. He was really excited about this pick. But it comes from the Maori word way, water tomo, so a hole or shaft. It's the local people had known about the caves for about a century before a local originally in Kauhei. I don't want to mispronounce these terribly things. But it was pretty much unknown for a little while. And then eventually in 1984, there was an extensive exploration from 1987 to 1988. And in that exploration, on a candlelight raft going into the caves where a stream goes underground. After they kind of discovered this, they made it into a tourist attraction. And what it is, they call it a glowworm grotto. I really love the word grotto as well. But there's little tiny glowworms, and they're twinkling all up in the sky, in the ceiling. And I think it's beautiful, but I also really don't like little tiny worms. So I'm really torn between going into this dark, thin cave and then looking up at these millions and millions of tiny worms crawling around the ceiling, but they're glowing pretty. So, there's lots of limestone formations, and I'm still at a crossroads if that's something I would want to risk. Like, what happens if they fall on you? I don't know. I think I have too much fear of worms for this. But Stephen, I really love your sparkling gifts you got. And then I didn't read the poem yet, but I looked down at your picture at the bottom, and I'm really excited because I don't know what that is. I'm really excited to find out.
You ready? If you hug a real glowworm, it will play a permanent lullaby. Wriggling blanketed stalactites, slithering veiled crevices, tottering neon maggots of blue, crawling over ancient fossils, creeping through thin crevices. Squirming, glowing worms of goo, infesting the ceiling, warming the cavern. Bright, squishy larvae light up the sea cave dark, waiting till you are neath them, living protein will assuage them, burrowing, flaming centipede, sharp insect teeth through the mark. Thousands all over you, inside and out of you, lucent grubs, making grub from your parts.
I think manly parts. You made up my mind for me. Thank you, Steven. Yeah. Oh, my God. this is going to give me nightmares. Oh, my goodness. You're getting me over to the side. I think I've changed my mind now. AP is going to have to really kind of convince me hard, because now this is not what I want. Crawling over ancient fossils. I really love that part. Creeping through thin cracks, squirming, glowing worms of goo. And then you even bring the larva in the swarming cavern. I'm like itching all over me now. Thank you. And then the worst part for me was when you're like burrowing. Flaming centipede, sharp insect teeth have a mark, and then thousands all over, inside, out of you. I'm telling you, that creep show really traumatized me, the little tiny bugs. And this is just, now instead of cockroaches, I'm thinking about all these worms inside. Ugh. I'll tell you something really, since this is really random, it's okay, I can tell you a story, but my cat, when I was a teenager, had like ringworm, and I never knew what that was. All I knew is that me and my friend, it's actually, I was about 14, and it was my godchildren's mother. She was sleeping over. And all of a sudden, I'm looking around my bed, and my cat was there, and I see all these tiny worms in my sheets, so many. And I didn't, it was so, I know, it was so awful. And even then, I was really afraid of this. So I was really, really afraid of anything like maggots or rocks. I was really petrified of it, even at 14. So I realized that I'm literally laying in it, and I start screaming. And I wouldn't go in my bedroom. It was awful. I had this hot shower, and actually my godchildren's mother had to pull all my sheets, all my blankets. I made her pull every piece of clothing I had, and she washed it and did the entire room because I couldn't do it. I'm like, my mom wasn't home, and I was 14, so she probably said, you need to do that. But I don't know. And then we slept out in the living room, but I was not going in there. I wouldn't go in my room for 3 days. It was really, really, really bad. It was awful.
I'm moving.
You're bringing flashbacks, Steven. This is basically what I'm saying. You're bringing trauma flashbacks to that right there.
Good trauma.
So thank you. This is excellent. Thank you for the trauma. Wonderful, creative, gross. I really do think it was quite creative the way you did it, and gross. And if a poem can move you to the point where you're scratching everywhere and really grossed out, you did a good job. And I really love the picture. Excellent. And Patter, what do you think? Thank you.
When you were reading it, I was seriously following along, then the last line on each one got in each stanza got me. When you went neon maggots of blue, okay, smile. Then he's crawling over ancient fossils, creeping through the cracks, squirming glow worms of goo, smile. Then,
smile.
Then where was it? It came down to serpent's teeth, leave a mark, laugh. And I had to mute myself. I don't know why, I just caught me. I do like the longer line rhyme. Always catches my attention. This one, I think it's funny. Am I wrong, people?
No, it's
funny.
You're right.
The whisper worms. Can't hear what they're saying, but they're saying something.
Yeah, they're saying, get the heck out of here. You know, AP must have heard me talking about him, so because he's on board now, he must have heard that. I was like, Steve was messing me up. Hi, AP.
Yeah. Hello.
Steven's giving me a traumatic poem about these worms, the worm caves. I'm about to get him some more comments.
Yes.
I don't know if you read it, but it's up on the board if you have time.
It's a wonderful worm that's sitting there with those eyes and with that little sleeping cap and Michelin sort of thing on. But the good news is they aren't after you, Sky. They're alike because they're after little bugs. And, you know, you're many things, but you're not a little bug. And so you're not in the eyes of a glowworm the prey that it is seeking. And however, it's bloody cute poem, and it's well written. Well done, Steve.
Excellent. And Kay.
Well, yeah, the glowworm picture at the bottom, as I said, he's kind of cute, but not like how I remember from when I was a kid, because I had a glowworm when I was a kid. But yeah, you're making them look death, looks that kill with their little whiskers. But hey, smile.
I forgot my kid's glowworm.
He's trying to give me more trauma. That's what it is. excellent comment. And Deb. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think that Stephen did an amazing job with this, and the whole time he was reading, I was picturing you sitting there cringing. Especially by the time he got down to that last stanza, I thought, I'm wondering if she's even still in the room. It's just like, you did a brilliant job, Stephen. For me, I look at that picture, and it's absolutely enchanting. They're gorgeous, and the thought of being in there and while they're doing it just seems like such a brilliant scene. And I figured a lot of people were going to take it because of that, and I chose a different prompt. But I love that I love the sadistic kick that you got out of torturing her, for one, Stephen. Just saying. But when you crack up, Sky, that's priceless too. So, you know, it was like really awesome. However, on a side note, I do want to say that AP's timing was pretty perfect, though, because you were just saying it. You hope he fixes it for you, because before this poem, you wanted to see it. So I think maybe you should let him go before me, and he can re-enchant that photo for you.
Yeah. Excellent comment. Yeah, I was on the fence, and then I was like, well, Stephen convinced me. He helped me over there. Maybe he can give me that. I do appreciate the poem, Stephen. Even though it gives me the heebie-jeebies, I like poems like that. We'd like things that torture us. Do you want to tell me what's going over there at Poetic Slice this week?
Yeah. First, I will close really quick though with the comments on my poem. If everybody looks at how I responded to Kay's comment on my poem with that classic song. The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out, the worms play pinochle on your snout. The next show of Poetic Slice of Life is Poetic Inklings, and it's on Thursday evening instead of Wednesday because of scheduling conflicts, mainly with my work and all that good stuff. 10 p.m., and we are saying hello to June with quotes about the month of June. That's the right to. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I might as well just do it now because that's the next one up. Oh, wait, what's happening Friday?
Friday? Oh, sorry. That's something different with a request, and it's open brevity, 67 words or less.
67 and a half, exactly. I'm just kidding. 67 words or less. One of those people. All right, well, thank you. And hang out as long as you can. Not kicking out. I just want to see if they can play the show, but you are welcome to stay. AP, you got a lot of work to do because I'm definitely afraid of worms, and Stephen really got me grossed out here. So
let me start to say that if you want to see glowworms, you don't have to go into a cave in New Zealand. You can just go to a number of random pieces of bush and wait for the sun to go down, and then these glowworms appear in the bush, in sort of deep shrubs and darkness. And wow. So you can actually see this scene like in the caves, in the open air. In the bush, and it's quite beautiful, really, because the colors, as you've seen in the video, are sort of go from white through to violet to blue, depending on when you're looking at them and how you see them. And they really have an interesting sort of combination of depth when you look at a whole heap of them. And so what it looked like to me was the night sky. So this is the Milky Way below, and it goes a little bit like this. Waters ache of melted snow, they rock by the edges of a boat. Clear crystal of waters below, on stones so deep like in goat. Was grouped, then seated within, while the strict rules are shared. Guides silent in prayers to kin, then propels off a rope there. First lap of current on walls, by the distant light of our entry, then it darkens as light falls. Above a glow stare our sentry. Stars and constellations gleam, roof glitters of purple and white, and galaxies appear to teem, near and far gazing sea lights. A range, so believe, is space, nebula by a tinge of neon blue, as the Milky Way try to trace comets in pattern continue. Until passed through the cave, rays sweep till our eyes stung, visions of minutes ago craved, of glowworms alive among and on.
Oh, that is really beautiful, though. Now I'm thinking about glowworms like stars. If I can get it out of my head, there's a bunch of worms above me. I think I could do it, because it sounds really, really pretty now.
it is. It's quite beautiful.
The pros and cons. Well, that's what I thought when I seen that picture and when I learned about it. I was like, wow, this seems like a really, really cool thing to be able to do. And you've been there?
I have. I've been in the boat and gone under the mountain and looked at the glowworms, done a couple of times. And then I've also gone and seen about three other places around that part of North New Zealand where they have just the bush with glowworms in it at night. So, and it is. It's a magic thing. It just is a beautiful thing. You swear that you are looking at the stars when it's completely dark. You just look at it, and it just looks like galaxies in front of you.
Oh, stars on Earth. That's beautiful. I loved the way you did this. It was beautifully melodic. The waters ache of melted snow. And then I love how you bring in the boat ride. And then, of course, you're bringing in the lapping of the walls and the distant light. And you're really, it's almost like, I guess I would say, a virtual journey through poetry of what this experience might look like. And you make it quite magical, especially when you start bringing in the stars and constellations gleam when you're looking up at this cave at the ceiling, and it actually seems like a galaxies in the night sky. So I really love how you kind of brought in those patterns and the comets and kind of described it in that way and actually brought us through a virtual journey. Really, really well done. I appreciate you bringing me for the trip. Firsthand. Excellent. I get my first comment. Thank you. I'm going to get my first comment. I was thrilled. I was like, oh, he went. So maybe I can get a virtual journey through poetry, and I did. So, Adder, what do you think?
I try to ask a question. Does glowworm poop glow in the dark, too?
I'm not sure, Adder. Only you could ask that question, and I'm actually not. I don't know.
do they fall? I mean, how big are these worms?
Oh, they're only
tiny.
Are they like tube worms?
Like the tubular worms?
No, they're even smaller than that. They're very, very tiny. They're tiny.
She had her ask the question that I want to know. Do they fall? That's what I
want to
know.
Well, yeah. One assumes that when they sort of stop glowing and they pass from this earth, they drop in the water sky. You know, they just, you know, see you later. There you go.
I don't know about this. I'm getting a lot of anxiety about this. I don't know.
The mating call, or do they whisper, or do they just hum? because I don't know the words.
That's the question. I mean,
you know, but they only live for a couple of weeks. So they aren't for long.
Now the Aboriginal people always had use for something like that, like the poison arrow frogs. But, you know, there was use of
those.
What use did they have for these glowing worms? Did they put them in their hair?
I don't think they were big enough to worry about, Hatter. If they were slightly bigger. Like Aboriginal people did used to eat witchetty grubs, for example. And they're a bit bigger.
Okay.
They're a bit like size of your finger. Yeah.
So you see them when they're in a group, when they're colonies, you see them. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes. Fun things, though. They are, seriously. You got to see them. They're really cool.
Yeah.
You got caves.
I might just be crazy enough to want the picture that badly to go see it, but then I don't know. I'm still torn. You described it beautifully, but then Hatter started talking about them falling.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's got enough.
Yeah. Excellent. Kay, what do you think?
Well, yeah. This is it's a lovely telling. I like how the rhyme, it definitely flows. But I like how you bring in the nature science and the patterns that gleam. And then you ask the question, as the Milky Way tries to trace comets and patterns. And then you close up the softness and the glow warms and lives. It definitely is an awesome share for tonight.
Thank you,
Gus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kay. Awesome. I want to say hi to Frank on the board who's listening, who's just saying falling grubs. I don't know about that.
Grubs.
Oh. And I actually, speaking of little tiny bugs, I have a tick. So can...
Yes.
Deb, can you get comments?
I can. Okay.
All right, I'm Steven. Trying to remain calm here.
You're going to be okay. If you just got there, he doesn't even have time to get hooked onto you. So, Steven, you want to comment for AP?
Yeah, I thought that this was a beautiful description. To me, you brought the sight and sound to this because I could hear the water lapping off the cave walls and the boat. I could picture the Milky Way sands light pollution on the ceiling. Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write.
Thank you.
Great comment. That's awesome. And my favorite part was the fact that you compared it to the constellations, and I thought that was perfect, especially the Milky Way, because the way they're clustered there together, it does happen to fit. Your rhyme and flow is always spot on. And guide silent in prayers to kin and propels off a rope bared. That part was a little bit, like, scary because then I'm picturing them falling on my head. Other than that, it was just like you could just picture them as stars twinkling. And even, like, if I saw one that was falling towards the water, maybe make a wish, like a falling star. But seriously, I knew that this would enchant enough to maybe help me recovery from the infestation previous. So, but it just came out really, really beautiful.
And Sky,
is that you? I think I heard.
I'm back. Yes, it wasn't attached. It was just on my blanket. I don't know what happened. They're everywhere. I work on a farm, and though I don't go around too much, they seem to be everywhere this year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant right now. Okay. I think we have all now commented for AP.
We do.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm going to disappear on my little boat into the cave of the other side of the show, and have a great show, Sky. Great prompts. Love them.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. My prompts for next month are already up. There's some more really random stuff and places, so you should check it out. There's some really cool places in there. Yeah.
I like random places. They're really cool. So, you know, go for it. Thank you, and we'll catch you next episode. Okey-doke.
All right.
Have a nice lunch.
Okay. Thank you.
Glow
in my party. Oh,
I'm really dead. Oh,
and can you see, like, glow worms are falling in my sandwich? Definitely not eating down there. Oh, my goodness. Did you put pickles in here? I feel a little crunch. No, there's no pickles in there, Sky. Oh, my God. My own worst enemy. All right.
Raisins. Right. Did you put raisins? No, there are no raisins in it. Oh, no.
It's the crunch. Oh, it's the crunch that kills me. I don't know why I did that number twice.
The crunch.
I was trying to drop Deb's poem, but it didn't work out. Let's before we read Deb, let's say, hey, Frank.
Hello.
Frank?
Scott, did you notice that AP changed his profile picture to the glowworm?
Yeah, I did. I did, actually, yeah. At first, I didn't get it, and then I did. Like, I was like, is that? And then I was like, oh, I did. I seen it earlier. I seen the excitement when he was like, oh, I love the prompts. I've been there. You should go. And that's when I started my debate in my mind.
Well, damn,
she's
season.
Debating. She's debating. Leave her alone.
How you doing, Frank? Ooh. I don't think I heard you.
I have the choice of his phone.
Is he unmuted? Can't hear you, buddy.
He had a lot of issues last night with his phone in our room.
I really don't like it. Rock the Casbah.
I love how musical we are tonight.
Yeah. Did Frank ever reach? Oh, he must. I guess he's going to dial back.
Yeah,
it's probably going to happen. All right. So to try to get Frank on for your poem, Deb, do you want to plug any shows that are coming up, and then hopefully he'll come back by the time you read?
Sure. We're off tomorrow, and Thursday night is the conclusion to Sweet Pea's Once Upon a Time trilogy. I believe she's updated the photos, and she said take them where they need you. And I am looking to see, because I don't remember if there's something going on. Oh, Friday is the 11th, and the 11th here is the 12th in Oz, and that happens to be AP's birthday, so he's got that slot on Friday night. And Saturday, as Heather said earlier, blankets.
So Saturday is AP's birthday?
I actually have a poem. I'll have to find it. It's a really old one. My grandmother made me a blanket, and I have a baby picture of me on it, and it's quite memorable. While we're plugging really quick, on Saturday is my next show, and that's over at Poetic Slice. And it's The Fifth Element. If you've ever seen the movie, you can write about a character. And if you've never seen the movie, you could go check out the quotes and just take it where you want. I'm pretty loose on there, so you guys really have free reign. It's a pretty cool sci-fi movie. It's really enjoyable. And you can write about the characters, the themes, or to the quotes. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pretty excited. And yeah. After that, I think I put you guys to work again, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Giving you guys 2 weeks off.
Run the synopsis by us again. I remember.
Corbin Daly. Let me let Frank on first. Yeah, let me let Frank, and then I'll run it by you.
Okay.
Hi, Frank.
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Oh,
there we go.
I don't know what happened there. I really don't know. It's, you know, it's one of these things. I call in at times and it just drops me, and there's times where I have no problem at all. So I'm just letting you know there, if I drop not of my own will, it has to do with my
phone. That's technology.
Phone. Yeah.
I'm going to give a brief synopsis here of the fifth element for Hatter. And it's a 23rd century universe threatened by evil. The only hope of mankind is the fifth element, who comes to Earth every 5,000 years to protect humans with 4 stones of the 4 elements, fire, water, earth. And they come in a spacecraft, and she's got to save everybody. And it has Bruce Willis in it. I mean, how could you not like that? And Mia, what's her name, Mia? What's her last name? Oh, it's a hard one.
I know, Gary,
it's like the Evo, but it's like the old. Yo, it's a really hard one, yeah.
Yeah, the one on the Resident Evil, no?
Jovovich. Mila Jovovich. I think I got that. You know?
Jovovich.
What's his name from Rush Hour in it, too?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Chris Rock. So, Chris Rock's in it, yeah. I mean, who doesn't... I love Mila from the Resident Evil series, which she was brilliant in. So, you know.
Absolutely.
It's Chris Rock, isn't it? Chris Rock, isn't it? Yeah. So, oh, yeah, Tucker. That's right, Chris Tucker. I was close. Was it Chris? I was close. Thanks for the save. Yeah, but that's the synopsis. So go write a poem about it, and
okay.
If you don't want to write a poem about it, you could write about any of the quotes however you want. So.
I think I was mistaken for Judge Dredd. Was it Judge Dredd?
Oh, I love Judge Dredd, too. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Armando Santos.
I saw that.
I love Judge
Dredd. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Was that Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes?
No. That's Thanks for Everything. No, that's something different. Thanks for Everything. Oh, that's a really funny movie. That's a really, really, it's like long.
So Patrick Swayze, does
anybody get that?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was Wesley Snipes.
Thanks for Billy Newmar.
Yeah. 2-1-2.
Yeah.
2-1-2. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say Shimon Fu?
Oh, Judge Dredd, I still say that. I say that to my godchildren. I say, I am the law! You know what I start messing about? I just start yelling, like, why do we got to do that? I don't want to do that. I am the law. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, the way it was. Our way it is. Slice.
All right, we gotta get Deb going. I've dropped her like 5 times. She's probably
five
getting
times.
Whiplash.
6.
Okay.
I know it might have been 6. Either way, she's getting whiplash, so we gotta let her read.
Yeah, that's true.
I dropped it once or twice myself, so I get around.
You were reading 15 minutes ago, no?
No, that's how long it's been taking. She's been waiting. She's a very patient woman here.
All right.
Okay, this is called Just for the Visit from Mother Earth. Here we go. The day Mother Earth walked in the forest, pine trees bent to the north,
just about 400, damn, that should say 900, sorry, bark-covered sentinels stand on trunks curved like limber timber now. Pine trees bent to the north just about, guarding the grove and the people in town. On trunks curved like timber, limber timber now, with part climbing and part on the ground, guarding the grove and the people in town, then dancing in the moonlight at midnight, with part climbing and part on the ground. In the Polish ballroom, neath the white starlight, then dancing in the moonlight at midnight, 900 bark-covered sentinels stand in a polished ballroom neath white starlight, the day Mother Earth walked in the forest. End poem.
Oh, Dad, this is natural.
Polish ballroom?
I'm going to have to put all your guys' poems on my recommended list tonight. They're really good.
Not like that. Not like that, Hatter. Polish cookies in Poland.
Polished. So it's a Polish.
Oh, my gosh. Keep your minds out of the car. This is an excellent piece. I really loved. I think Hatter's got questions. You can ask her all the questions you want one second.
Yeah, I'll wait.
I love Hatter's questions. This was just really, really beautiful. I loved the repeat of some of these lines, especially the 900, because the storytelling, like 400 bark-covered sentinel stand. I just really, really enjoyed it because you're bringing in the things that you learned into the poem, and yet you made it so magical when you're talking about, and so naturey. I mean, this poem's really right up my alley with the mixture of fiction, of real truth, a little bit of a splash of each element. But when you start talking about the wistfulness of the Mother Earth walking in the forest and them dancing, I think that really swept me away. That part was my favorite. I love the truth in it, and I love the descriptions. I love the repeat. But when you start with talking about this moonlit dance, and there's something just so magical to me in trees and in forests. It's really magical for me. So you really brought that to life in with this picture. And I really like the subtle mixture of all three genres that you were able to thread through. Brilliant, brilliant piece. I'm going to have to just staple you guys all to my list tonight.
Arborist.
Thank now, Hatter.
Thank you. I think that the pantoons work really well for haunting. They work really well for enchanting. Or for a repeat to show a deep emotion. So I think it was another excuse to get to write one. But I had to enchant those trees. I mean, what's the best way to get to Miss Disney? Tree person is to enchant the trees. So as I said, I sort of wrote for my hostess. So
that's awesome. There you go. I would love to see in a forest and just all of a sudden see trees just start dancing around. It wouldn't even bother me. Like, I wouldn't be weirded out. I was just like, wow.
I'm still trying to figure out what made me type 4. I read, I studied, I researched. I know that there are 900 of those trees. Nothing else, plant, flower, anything is bent, just these 900 pine trees. And it fascinated me. So why did I type 400? What the hell? But and I read that the village around these trees is now all the people that ever lived there or would have, say, the urban legend tales to carry about that area are long gone. So the fact that it still remains a mystery today is mind blowing. With all the forensics we're capable of, and to know that there's probably somebody out there somewhere whose grandmother told their grandmother who told, you know what I mean? And somebody knows, like, you know, what possibly happened. It's a fascinating thing. They were all the prompts you chose were really excellent, you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, now we're going to go investigate this, too. Then I have a field trip. Hatter, you may ask all your questions now.
I believe that part of the asteroid that took the Tunguskan forest down must have dropped off and hit this. It must have flown over Polish. They don't know why. So it is alien. It's alien. It's alien seeds. It's alien Johnny Appleseed. What it is.
Okay.
That is sort of weird. And if you look close, I was going to ask how big those trees are, but if you look close, there's a park bench in there with a little Sasquatch at the end. If you look real close, so Sasquatch is bending those twigs over. Twigs. It's like a chair. They could swing.
Yeah, no, it's a perfect. It's almost a perfect tree to sit and read a book in. If you want to crouch that way.
What it is.
Excellent. A rocking chair. Before I get a comment from Kay, I want to say hi to Budo, Dan on the board. And Kay, what do you think?
Well, I like the one stanza that goes, guard in the groove and the people in town, and dancing in the moonlight at midnight with part climbing and part on the ground in the Polish ballroom, nice white starlight. You know, there's a lot in that stanza that brings in the imagery, because I see it as speaking to the nature of the tree, their guardianship over their surroundings. But then when I heard Dancing in the Moonlight, my mind automatically was playing the song by Van Morrison, Dancing in the Moonlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is a wonderful voice to the trees and to life and to magic.
Thank you so much. Beautiful comment.
Yeah.
I was hearing Moon Dance and all kind of, every song that has, you know, moon starts popping in your mind while you're doing it. Bad Moon Rising, I guess it depends on the mood. Because, I always went with the idea that something sort of blew them that way, and I was going to go with Bad Moon Rising and the whole bit, and then I decided to go with the Enchantment instead and the Pantoum. But it's definitely mind-blowing. But thanks for the awesome comment.
Awesome. And Steven?
Yeah, I think the glowworms did it.
The grub. Are we talking about the grubs again?
a
grub is always a grub, especially when you want to grub.
I think I figured it out. I think that in that area at one time, before all the dinosaurs went extinct and everything, there was a group of giants, and they all had bum legs, so they grew their own walking sticks.
Oh.
There you go.
Anyway.
There you go.
Dinosaur lifted his leg on a tree.
We could have went dark and called them petrified snakes because, you know, like they have a slithering look to them as well.
Oh.
During the day, they're just trees, but at night they slither. Where will the forest be tomorrow kind of thing, you know?
There you go. But I like this. I like this Steve Dunn because you
in your backyard.
You got me going in a totally different direction. But you filled my mind with images of the trees having a party, you know, dancing on their roots, like the balls of old England, you know, how they would bow to their partner.
Yeah.
You know, I'm picturing them dancing at Fezziwigs in the 1954 version of A Christmas Carol. I'm picturing the trees doing that with this piece.
There you go. One's bowing, one's curtsying. Yeah, I can see that. Awesome.
I see a fly.
Awesome. It's getting real. Steven's getting in the game for classical feels of ballroom dancing because I'm making everybody write superhero classical poems. So he's getting into gear now. And Frank, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I thought this was a very inspiring. It was a very beautiful piece here. I love the metaphors, and of course, the storytelling was was exceptional here. You know, the other notion there, I mean, I've never been to, I've been to several of European countries there, but Poland I've never been, but it does fascinate me, the whole concept there of the shape of the trees. You know, I often, you know, we all, you know, perhaps we don't see this much, but we do see things that seem odd, you know, formations in the rocks, formations in the clouds, things that that we are somewhat you know, wondering the mystery, you know, trying to solve the mystery. And this I would categorize this as a mystery as well. You know, no one knows completely why. I mean, I don't know the full extent, but just listening here, I mean, there is something trying to figure out why the shape of the trees are like this. So there has to be a logical reason for this, but even so, it is fascinating when we see these type of things, the occurrences there and on the earth. And perhaps they don't have, and perhaps they have a simplistic answer, but the poem just really brought me down to really just a very wonderful sense there. I mean, I love the way you give the ballet. I almost feel like it was a ballet of the trees as well. Just that Disney feel. It almost had a Disney feel there. I could see the trees there dancing, swaying there with the moonlight there. So this was just a beautiful poem with beautiful imagery. I really enjoyed this piece there, and I thought you did an excellent job on this piece here.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
The 900 trees, are they in one grove? Are they in one stand?
Yep.
They're all in, together.
Yep.
Isn't it? Okay.
Yep.
So they're surrounded by straight trees. Could you think of the snow?
Absolutely. Yeah.
They'd be bent over the first couple of years of life and because of the snow, and then when they got big enough, no, that's not it.
Tato's not going to sleep tonight. He's going to be theories. We're going to come in next week, and he's going to have an 8-page thesis on all his theories. So what's happening?
No, I got him going. There was a mystery there. No, I have to.
Oh, he was going. He was going. Yeah, he was out from the beginning. He was out of the gate trying to figure this out. I know, Deb, you have to go. I appreciate you calling and writing, and thank you.
Amazing show.
Right, yeah.
And I'll see you all Thursday at Sweet Show. Love and respect.
Take
care.
Thank you. Week.
Have
bye-bye.
A good one.
All right. So we got a treat here because we've got two more pieces, and then I have some information about some more Clearwater, and I'm going to be closing out with them as well. I won't tell you what song, but if you're in the mood to sing and hop around, you should wait around for that.
Give me a
hand. And Frank gave us a SoundCloud. So,
Alrighty.
He wrote about the glowworms, too.
Trees.
So let's see where you go. I'm going to have to say a little information about the other two that I did, too. So before we go, I'll just give a brief synopsis of the other two places, which are really cool, but I'll do that after. Are you ready for me to press the button, Frank?
Well, by all means. I just want to say really quick, I took... If you're able to hear the music in the background there, I took from your video there that you put up on the prompt there, you know, on the board there. So I took that the music there from the video there, and I incorporated it into this piece here.
Oh, cool. Okay. I always wait to listen to your sound class because I like to be pleasantly surprised, so I'm excited. All right. I'm going to press play.
The mystifying passage into a lost time forgotten. A gentle serenity of hidden secrets of Mother Nature. A symphony of sounds of the underground revealed. A stream flowing beneath the mysterious cavern. The candlelight of an explorative new odyssey. A twinkling glow of the kaleidoscope of beauty. The unique formations of the alabaster limestone. By the shallow waters of the steady embankment. The natural shapes of an aesthetic creation scene. A wonderful illustration of such superb imagery. The luminescence of a myriad of glowworms. A theater of the refulgence of the emission of light. The labyrinth of fantasy and endless imagination. A mystique of Amari spirits roaming in an ethereal realm. The ancient world of the native drums resounding. Canoes of great warriors paddling through the currents. The token fossils of eons of the breath of life's gone. A pillar of stalagmites and moss in the damp recesses. The deep entrance into an undiscovered place of rituals. A cavern of the island of the Mari called the Waitomo in the Pum.
Wow, that was excellent. You got, I got like a real, like, I don't know, like a, almost like if someone's telling you like this myth or this story, this, like a real, when you're going into, I don't know, like a mythical story. That's the kind of feel I got with your piece. And when you say the mystifying passage into the lost time forgotten, the gentle serenity of hidden secrets of Mother Nature, it really, really draws me into that storytelling element with that, again, that myth-like tale. But it's not myth. It's certainly not the word, I guess I would say, but because it's real, but then again, the history behind it, there's so much wealth and mystery of what's happening. I really, really love that. And because of the tone in which you read, it really was like you kind of just really lean into listening because it had such a low, kind of a menacing tone. But wonderfully, wonderfully done. Again, the storytelling, it was a little menacing, but that's what made it great, because when you think of those, when you think of like somebody sitting around a fire and telling a story about, this is a tale from long, long ago, and that's what kind of voice and that's what kind of tone I love to hear. You're just sitting around a story, you're like, this is close, I'm going to tell you of this tale and all these things, and it's a natural place in a beauty in nature. So I really love that, the details with the alabaster limestone that you brought in. I could tell you read up on it a little bit, because I watched the video and I learned a little bit of a thing or two about all these, because these are things that I've watched on my own that I just kind of brought over here. I loved watching the videos and learning, and you kind of bring pieces of that into the right, which I really, really enjoyed as well. You get a myriad of glowworms, a theater. I really love that. To think, I mean, we've heard it to be like the night sky, and we've heard the constellations, and then as Stephen brought in the creepiness of them, and you think of it like a theater, and I think that's pretty cool to everybody's different views. And then again, the labyrinth of fantasy, giving to that storytelling that you're going through the entire piece. So I really, really love that one. And then bringing in the canoes and the paddling and the currents and setting that scene. I love that you talk about the stalagmites. When I was younger, that used to be a really tough concept for me, like really when I was really young. And then someone finally said, stalagmites might fall down, or stalagmites might reach the sky, and the stalactites are holding on to the ceiling with
with a grip. So that's the only way I can ever remember that. But I remember when I was younger, that they had to teach me a riddle because I could never remember which was which. And then someone, when I was in grade school, finally taught me this trick, and I've never forgotten. It was pretty cool. So I love to see that, and then real cavern feel. And then you brought the actual name. So this is a brilliant piece. I really, really love the SoundCloud. I'm going to have like a collection of SoundClouds from you pretty soon, with all the ones that you bring in for my...
The theme that you brought in, the themes were, I thought they were very important there. I mean, I give you kudos for that, selecting a bold theme there. You know, you chose something, you know, a topic there that, you know, perhaps many don't know much about or are inspired. But I thought every one of these prompts that you brought tonight were very inspiring. I just chose this one because it was something I don't know, and I saw the video, but I saw the prompt there. I just felt, and of course it had that native thing of the Maori. So I don't know, it just drew me there. So that's why I was inspired to just choose that one and to write this piece. I wrote it in the morning there, so I was able to squeeze in a few minutes there and one take there to do the SoundCloud.
Oh, excellent. An excellent piece. It takes me like 500 times to do a SoundCloud. I'm really kind of mental.
Well, it's got dull.
So kudos to you.
And I've got roommates.
Like, I'm overly
critical. Can you
imagine
that? It's
yeah, I don't
it
have
is difficult for me.
I'm overcritical.
Yeah.
So you have other distractions. Mine
figure.
Is just because I'm like really
yep,
over.
I do.
Like, I don't like the word I said, the... I'm going to have to redo that. It's really kind of mental.
It is. I mean,
Carter, what do you think?
I mean, I was fortunate.
So you had to do the flagging with the dragon. The flagging with the dragon is the brew that is true. Or the chalice with the malice. The brew that is true. It's the lag tight, flag right. Okay. Pumpernickel. Yeah, it took me a while to realize we weren't talking about the trees anymore. Grinning in my head.
No, we were talking
in my hand. It did have a darker flavor to it. The Maori, is that the Aboriginal New Zealanders tribe?
Yeah, they are the native, I would say the native inhabitants before the Europeans came, the British.
Oh, okay.
They were the origin of the Maori, the Polynesian.
And those glowworms are on in New Zealand, is that what, only?
I don't know to the full extent. I mean, I know that they're in the cabin there, I mean, I've never been to New Zealand, so I mean, I only, from what I've read, I mean, and I was just inspired by the whole, you know, the ambience, the habitat of the cabin and what, you know, what was around, what was inside. So I took that as, you know, the glowworms were a central part of this poem because it was something that is usually seen was in the cabin at a certain hour.
Yeah, well, I love your recordings too, because you can add your colors how you speak. And we talk to you all the time about your accent and your voice and how well read you are. How many times did it take you to record this one? I mean, I'm just giving you the rhythm.
I only had one opportunity there. I had my roommates were about in other rooms, and I had the dog at the time. One of them was in the background sleeping. The other one was about as well. So, I mean, I had to go into the restroom and squeeze in this one take, and I was fortunate that I was able to do that. And there's another thing. You know, when you do the music there, which you couldn't really hear, the music there at times you have to coordinate the length of that. You know, that's only 2 minutes and something, so you have to coordinate. I don't sometimes I don't have time to coordinate the music with my reading. So I just, you know, it's just one of those things off the cuff I just do. And it happens at times that it does work well with the read, with to coordinate with the music. And in this case, I was able to do that in one take.
So like the Dark Side of the Moon plays along with Wizard of Oz? Just happens to go there?
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I tried to read something along with the music and try to pause when it let the music play a little bit, you know, and it's good. But it's not easily done.
It's not. I mean, how many of us are not perfectionists? You know, how many of us are not perfectionists? You know, we want to do it, you know, in a perfect way. But, you know, in this case here, I do criticize myself. You know, I'm my worst critic there. But at the same time, I realize that I don't have time. So if I sit there and ponder every intonation that I do wrong, you know, and say, no, I stop it, or I stop it after three or four words and just, you know, I become obsessed, I'll never get it done. So what I do is, it doesn't come out perfect completely, but it's acceptable for me, and that's what I have to do with the time that I have.
Yeah.
If you pause when you're doing, you know, if you listen to your own self and you're doing, you know, the recording and you say, oh, I made a mistake. Yeah, if it's an obvious mistake, of course you do it over. But I'm saying if you sit there and say, well, you know, and you start picking in your mind, you're never going to do it. You're never going to finish it because you're always going to be stuck on, oh, no, I'm going to mispronounce this word. You have to just really, you know, unless it's an obvious error, you mispronounce the word completely or skip a word, then you have to really get into a flow. I get into a flow, you know, and I just try to get into that flow where I can, you know, it's acceptable for me.
Excellent. Well, I do appreciate them. Kay, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I like what you brought here. I like certain words that speak to the most, like deep and symphony sounds, underground revealed, explorative new odyssey, labyrinth of fantasy, endless imagination, undiscovered place of riddles. Those are all great thoughts that bring the view together with mystique and wonder. That's definitely an illuminate and share, but the presentation spoken wonderfully as always. Definitely a great addition for today.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, I appreciate that.
Excellent comment, Kay. And Stephen?
Glowworms are falling on me. I thought that these were...
I thought it was raindrops.
No, he... Yeah,
going back to the grubs again.
Changed it.
Hey,
what do we
next think? Time we'll write a poem on gory grubs.
I'm going to go to work tomorrow humming that. And I have to train. I have to train again tomorrow. This poor woman, I can't read my writing, and I'm also going to hum, glow worms are following on my head. She's going to be like, why did they make me train with her? That's not going to happen.
But I do like this, Frank. I thought that there's beautiful descriptions. Yeah, I like how you... It seemed to me like you mixed natural and mystical together with your imagery,
yeah,
which is perfect for the way these things act. And to answer your question, Heather, there are actually glowworms in Alabama as well. You can find them only in Alabama in a certain cavern. So,
no kidding.
Yep.
Well, we only to go to Alabama then.
All right, we're on a road trip to Alabama.
Sweet Alabama. How does that song go there? Sweet Alabama. I forget how it goes.
Sweet home Alabama.
There you go. Got my banjo on my knee. I don't remember the rest of the verses, but I heard that one.
I don't think that's a different song. Stephen, I don't want to cut you off. Was that your end comment, or are you still?
I just put a picture of a cavern in Alabama on the board for everybody to see. To see the glowworms there as well. It's weird that they'd be there and then on the other side of the room.
Interesting.
Oh,
wow.
We have a few of them, yeah. I heard they have a few of them in some places.
Yeah. Wow. I just want to do one more thing, Guy, about the glowworms. Picture that you finally hype yourself up to go in there, and just when you get right in the middle of them, they all turn their lights off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do they drop the sticky goo there, Stephen?
I don't think there's going to be any way AP is going to save you guys. I used to have a beautiful home, but I don't know about this.
Go there, acrobat.
I just got finished reading it, okay? So now I've got, like, the deadlights in my mind, like the deadlights of the glowworm. And then I'm getting the dead zone to kind of Stephen King mode. So now I'm thinking the dead zone. This is where the lights come off and something comes out from underneath the water and, like, just pulls you under. Now I'm having nightmares, Stephen. I'm off. Stephen, you did your job. Good job.
Good giant.
Coming to get you.
What is that movie? Is it The Abyss? Sigourney Weaver in it? Is that what it's called? The Abyss? Yeah. That's what I'm picturing right now.
Guy.
Oh.
No,
yeah.
You could be picturing glowworm. Come out to get me.
Anything that glows from now on, you'll freak you out.
Oh, no. You guys are terrible. Oh.
Come out and play.
I did pick this one. I knew people were going to have fun with it. Y'all froze down here, Georgie. Oh, my gosh. I can't handle it. Oh my goodness. All right. And you can talk about the glowworms as long as you want, Stephen, the whole show if you want. So you don't have to say this the last time I mentioned it. You can mention it again. You have my permission to torture me. Do you want to read for Dan before you continue your torturing?
Sure, I could do.
Okay.
Oh, and by the way I learned it in school was stalactites have to hold on tight, and stalagmites run around on the floor like mites. That's how I thought.
That was crafty there.
All right. This is by Budho, and it's called Silent Screams of Glowworms. No, just Silent Screams from Budho. Sorry, Dan. What hideous, devious creatures are these? To boldly invade the habitat of trees, swiftly deforming those accosted in meandering ways, to profligate such vices in mud-soaked damp days. The abominable scene horrors to know not in rot timber, the silent screams howling in torturous limber. Grant these scene reprieve, call out those afflicted, emancipate freely, and give nature be shifted. End poem.
Oh, excellent. Excellent poem. Wonderful read. You read, so you get the first comment. What do you think?
This makes me think of now that, like, the oak trees came in to the pines to force their ways on them and had the oak tree Inquisition instead of the Spanish Inquisition and tortured these poor little devils.
Oh, God.
And
I know, that's
what
really
they
good,
left.
Yeah.
They were just left like this. So now I have Mel Brooks in my head singing, "The Inquisition, what a show."
Good to be king.
Very dark. Very foreboding. Very well done, Dan.
Yeah. I think Stephen's got like a part two to this poem. I think what he just said was a poem in itself. A wonderful analogy, yeah. Excellent, thank you. That was a wonderful read. Dan, this is wonderful. I really love the question because we were all, throughout the show, one of the biggest things, especially with Hatter, is like, what happened? Theorizing, what is happening here? And you actually bring that right into the piece, which I think is pretty cool. The hideous, devious, what hideous, devious creatures are these? Like, they're really menacing. You go like this opposite way of, you know, Devrient, they're dancing around these tree-like little heavens, and you're like, what menace and hideous creatures are these? Why are they messing up the trees? They're invading and you know, just swiftly deforming those across it, the meandering ways. So what is doing this to the poor trees and creating this? Like, what monster's behind them? And I really like that because it's quite clever in its take. One thing I really love when I do prompts is to see how many ways that people can do things differently and where creativity is really blossoms from. And that's one of my favorite things when doing the prompts, because I think it's so cool how people can just go in so many different directions and be so creative and think up different ways to bring in a theme. And this is one of those that's pretty cool. Silent screams howling. I have to agree with Stephen, very dark, ominous, and menacing. And honestly, with the picture I thought the picture itself was a little haunting. If I would have wrote, I might have gone on like a haunted tale. And you didn't go to a haunted tale, but you were very much on that brink of that, what is this? You were in the mystery hunt a little bit. So I do really, really well done. I don't know why I just said that 8 times. Love the poem, Dan. I appreciate it. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm looking at the piece was written beautifully. I love the short little lines explaining each one, the abominable scene horrors. Now, I'd like to know what the weather is. Is that a wind? Where it's really windy and these things bending over quite a bit because they're not real thick at the trunk as a pine tree would be. So I'm wondering if it's and the carpet on the ground looks like it's been cleaned. There's not a lot of dead wood falling on the ground. So I'm wondering if there's any birds nesting these things. That would be a good observation. Maybe the birds don't like these trees either. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a tourist area, so I think they keep it pretty clean. I think it's a pretty good tourist area. Okay, we've got 10 minutes, and we've got one poem left. I want to finish a little on time, so I just want to let you guys know. And we only have an Irish Rose brought up brevity, but I do want to finish getting comments for Dan here. So, okay, what do you think?
Well, yeah, as I said, speaking through the trees to give a view that is also a voice to life and nature, speaking, as I thought, in their way of standing out and looking different. How dare they to do that? But then add in the voice of pain as well, the silent scream seeking to be set free. It's an excellent talent to the prompt.
Excellent. And Frank?
Yes, I'll be brief and we run out of time. I'll say what I wrote.
Okay, I don't want you to rush your comments. I just want to let you know, just let you know where we are.
Oh, no, I know that. I'm trying to stay on time with you. I thought it was a remarkable write with a powerful message, and the thing I enjoyed the most was the way he gave a voice to the trees and nature there. You know, it's one of these, the question there, what hideous, devious creatures are these? You know, of course, you know, we can take it in many ways, but if we take it in the eyes of the trees, then he's given voice to the trees there. So I thought he did an excellent job there in conveying the moral of the piece here with the trees and the voice to the trees there and their plight.
I do really love the Omni feel. Udo, absolutely brilliant.
I was really excited when I saw him write for it, so I was pretty excited. I was like, oh, everybody's writing about, I think we got one for each, except for the only one that was in the United States, which is still pretty good, I think. Suzanne, I thank you again. I appreciate you. A little bit about the one that we don't have is the Grand Prismatic Spring. Bright, vivid colors. This spring is the result of microbial mats around the edges of mineral-rich water. The mats produce colors ranging from green, red, and, and so it's pretty cool. You can always, in a deep blue color, the water is the center of the pool, and which results into an intrinsic blue of water. And so that was the other one. And then the last one that Irish Rose wrote to, this one really trips me out. I don't know if I would be scared, but I probably still would go over it, but I'd probably be a little scared. I'm thinking the abyss again. But this is the underground waterfall of Mauritius. Yeah. Misleadingly, it isn't the water... It isn't the water which is actually falling into the unknown, but rather the sand and silt sediments, which are in perpetual motion. It's a relatively young island and happens to sit on an ocean shelf raised above the seabed level. Off this particular coast, a gradual slope is noticed, abruptly ending 4,000 meters deep, abysmal drop. And thanks to the marine topography, various shades of blues are visible, and due to the movement of the sand and the silt deposits among these slopes, it looks like a waterfall, and it kind of creates an optical illusion. I thought this one was really, really cool, too. I thought it was really cool. But it's our last one, and it's a brevity, and I'm going to read it for her. So I can't remember if I dropped it. I did drop it. Okay.
Yes.
So this is Blue Infinity by Irish Rose. A ways out there, in the way, way out there, in the deep blue of a sonnet's mystic turquoise sun, waves give chase, tumbling and jumbling shock bubbles. Piscean currents rhythmically drum, drooping into singing waterfalls of a blue infinite dawn. End poem. Absolutely brilliant, Brevity. The Blue Infinity. And definitely, I like how she brings the word sonnets in, and the mystic blue and the sun and bringing in the waves, and then it's giving chase. And I think for me, with the swirls of the sediments, it's almost as if the water itself is chasing itself around with those currents. So I really like that metaphor and the way that she does that. And then bringing in that fun language, tumbling, jumbling, shock bubbles. I really loved reading that out loud. I thought it was quite, really, really clever. Really well done, Irish Rose. I appreciate you bringing it. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, great brevity to that picture. It is an optical illusion. Almost, it looks like the headwaters are, well, they look like clouds anyway. I was trying to figure out where that waterfall is. Seeing when he says the underground waterfall, do they mean by illusion that it drops off, or they actually mean in a cave waterfall?
No, it's the water, and I read it. And if you click on the topic header, there's a whole description and a video. I'll leave up the topic board for you for a little bit, and you can go and you can look at it. It's pretty cool. I would watch the video if I were you to learn about your stuff. Yeah. Thank you.
Cool.
And Kay, what do you think?
Nice.
Yeah, okay. So I like what this one brings. It's a fast brevity, but I definitely think it has wonderful details of bringing connection to nature. It has its own mystique of otherworldly energy through the water. And this is, she chose a prompt that nobody else spoke to, so that's cool too. Excellent share.
Thank you, Kay. And Stephen?
Yeah, I get to talk about the phenomena itself. I can just imagine what the undertones are like there.
Yeah.
I think if you get stuck there, you'd be dead. I think it'd suck you right down in. And you know what's breaking the bottom?
If it's not that, the grubs will get you there, Stephen.
I think if I hung out with Stephen a lot more, I would become more of a hermit than I already am. Afraid of like really random stuff. Sorry, Stephen.
No,
go ahead.
It's all right. I have to agree with what Kay said, though. It's a beautifully descriptive brownie that really describes the picture and the phenomenon very, very well. I thought that it was awesome.
Excellent. And Frank.
Yes, first of all, I was going to say, Hatter, that if you look, scroll down, you see in the AP, there is a mention there of Mauritius and what information about the pick there. I thought this pit, first of all, Mauritius is a beautiful, beautiful island there, and everything around it is beautiful as well, you know. I thought in such brief words, she really said a lot here. The imagery here was exquisite here, you know. It has this this essence of turquoise. I mean, the colors there just exude with just an exquisite feeling, a sensation there. But I really like the analogy there of the Piscean currents rhythmically drummed, dropping into singing waterfalls of a blue infinite dawn. That's beautiful. This, you know, this is a beautiful brevity. I really enjoyed the piece there.
I agree.
How many shades of blue?
Yeah. It's really, really gorgeous. Before we go off the air, I do want, I missed something and I want to rectify. I don't know why I do this, but can you please tell me what's going on over at the cafe site?
Oh, that's not an issue there. But, what was it? You got a couple of minutes. From what I understand, well, I'm not certain yet. No. All right. I thought I was going to be going out. I'm not sure if it's going to be this week, next week. But if I'm in town here, we will have it Saturday, I believe, at 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern. Any changes in our advice? I'll definitely leave messages on the board there if there's a sudden change there for Saturday. I appreciate that. Thank
you. Thank you so much.
So you didn't have to do that next time. You don't...
No, I love to do it. I want to hear all about it. So definitely. I just wanted to make sure that I would be able to get all my thank yous and stuff on air so Dan wouldn't be able to hear. So I want to thank Hatter, Tay, Stephen, Deb, AP, Frank, Buteau, Dan, and Iris Rose for all calling and taking part. And I'm really excited about the prompt, so I was really excited where you guys took them. So I would definitely had her. I would look into that. Now I'm a little more relaxed now that all the things are done and my things are done before we close. We go off air, but the waterfall hatter, it looks like it's going to suck you right in, kind of like what Stephen said. If you look on a topic list in the picture that I have, and if you Google it, mm-hmm. it really does look like it's going to suck you right down under. So Stephen's got all the comments.
You never know.
And so.
It's a giant. There's a giant glow worm at the bottom. When he opens his mouth, it sucks everything
in.
Oh my god!
There we go. Are we back on the grub system? Oh, god.
So, oh my goodness!
I think the only thing left to say there, it's grub time.
It's grub time. Well, I do have a little bit more to say. So the closing song is by Creedence Clearwater again. And this is Down the Corner, and this song tells a story of a fictional jug band, Willie and the Poor Boys, who run street musicians playing for nickels, Can't Be Beat. The name of the jug band was also the name of CCR's fourth straight million-selling album. On the cover of the band is seen down on the corner performing to a very small crowd outside the Duck Me Market. This location had no real significance except it was just happened to be a half a block from their recording studio, and
John Fogerty recalls only ever going there one time, and that was sometime after the album's release. So this is down on the corner, and I hope you guys are in a singing mood, because I really like to sing this one too. So I'm not singing
now. Is this karaoke?
If you want to, I always do karaoke if you want. You are always welcome to sing to any of my songs, right?
All right.
I will not.
You put the letters on there, right?
But yeah, I want to thank you guys again so much for hanging out with me all night, especially those who hung out with me all night, and I appreciate you. All right. Down on the corner.
Just about supper time. You buy the corner.
You're going to put the word. Sensitive to those Elvis fans there, because it was going to be a parody on the song of you know.
It's not insensitive.
But a hound dog.
It's okay. If you feel like like you're going to be insensitive, read David's
there,
poem
so,
about cartoons, and you'll feel better about it.
Right, just a moment.
No,
I don't want to kick, of course. I didn't want to put it on.
Hey, Frank.
All right.
Yes.
I'm an Elvis fan, and I would not be upset at all.
Oh, see, look at that. And Stephen does a really great impression. So if you write a parody of that, you could probably sweet talk Stephen into reading it, because he does a really mean Elvis voice. Just saying.
Oh, what are we talking about? Nothing but a corn dog.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog. I was going to change it to Ain't Nothing But a Corn Dog.
I don't think anybody would be offended. People got to have senses of humor. It's healthy to have a sense of humor.
No, but when I publish it, you know how people, if I publish it, people will read and see the poem, and you know, that's different than do it on the show. Right?
Just hide it. Just,
I don't know how many
just
people.
Just hide it. Hide it way down.
Can anybody
do
that?
Why, you want the corn dog challenge?
I think I'm going to try it. Yeah, ain't nothing but a corn dog.
All right. Yeah.
There we go. I'll think about it for Saturday. I'll think about it. But I was writing a poem for you Saturday. So you don't want me to write
you
for you.
If you write me a corn dog poem, I think me and Stephen and Kate can talk about you maybe reading too. So.
Oh, you want me to write a corn dog instead of the other one?
We'll figure it out.
I was writing another piece.
You can do whatever you want as long as you bring me a corn dog poem. If you write two, let the corn dog two read two, you know? If you only want to bring a corn dog home, I think we can make an exception for the corn dog.
I had written the corn dog with the song, you know, the Elvis song, but the instrumental, of course. So I was going to add in the song itself, You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog, but just the instrumental version with my piece there. So that's how I was going to do the poem. But I was a little reluctant because I said before I don't want people to get upset because, you know, there's some people do.
Well,
you know,
if you really don't want to put it, you can just post it on the board and then we could play your sound. You could just play your sound card and you don't have to post a poem. See? We've got all the
answers. You know what?
I'll think about it.
Already been done.
Don't tell me that.
By Kobe Kingston. Ain't nothing but a corn dog.
Oh, there we
go. It's
all right. Okay, there we go. Now
why are you breaking my heart,
Heather?
We'll make it better.
That's still not a Frank version, you know? It ain't done until Frank does it. All right.
All right. Talk about it tonight.
I'm cutting you guys off. I really had a wonderful night.
You ain't nothing but a corn dog.
But you can't stay here. It's closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
And I was only going to listen to the show today, but now you got me involved here now tonight. I'm off the plane.
I'm pressing the button.
God.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yes. That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.